Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome to it, hour two of the show. Austin and Jay with you. It's Old School with Foreman and Orman, brought to you by The Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Go to themercadobutcher.com to learn more today. Not much more needs to be said about Nebraska-Akron. Huskers win 68-0, so we can take a spin around the rest of the Big Ten Conference, break down some of the key games that happened there. Northwestern and Maryland both won on Friday. It was the Wildcats 42-7 over the Leathernecks of Western Illinois. And Maryland took down Northern Illinois 20-9. Moving then on to Saturday, Ohio State beats Grambling 70-0. Penn State 34-0 over Florida International. Let's, Jay, go to game number three on Saturday in the Big Ten. Oregon looks good. Oklahoma State might be cooked.
Man.
I mean, Gundy, come on, brother.
Yeah, that's – you can't – there's no way that Oregon is that much better than you.
And if they are, that's a problem. But there's no way they're not.
There's no way. With a new quarterback, multiple guys getting drafted. They had, two defensive linemen getting drafted, one in the first round, obviously. And you get beat 69-3. Essentially, they turned the faucet off in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's embarrassing right there, man. I mean, Mike Gundy was already on the hot seat. And I know Billy Napier got the A-OK that they're going to keep him. And Mike Gundy had to take a pay cut. Or remember, it went down to like the 23rd hour, before they could rework his contract. They felt like they could fire him for cause. So at this point, he's coaching for, his tenure there with Oklahoma State. I still think he's a good coach, more than capable. That's a big score right there. And that's consistently giving up three scores in three quarters. The fourth quarter don't count because they pretty much were is looking at the clock. And then when they weren't even when Oregon wasn't trying to score, you couldn't score. You're supposed to be an offensive guy. I mean, if you lost the game,
the quarterback, for Pete's sake, even a
69-33, you're like, all right, they're just that much better than us on offense. And we got to get a little bit better on defense. Right now, you just got annihilated. Just annihilated. And the worst part is you ran your mouth beforehand. So you had to know when you got all the on the you left Stillwater on a long flight. Did they play at Oregon?
Yep.
Oh.
Stillwater, Oklahoma to Eugene, Oregon. Not exactly easily accessible by non-private aircraft. And yet they made the
And you don't even know who you can blame. Dante Moore, who hadn't played in like 3 years, he's 16-21 efficient, three TDs, 266 yards. Zane Flores, Nebraska zone from Gretna. 7-19 for 67 yards.
Two picks.
Now, you ran the ball okay, so maybe you should have done that.
Here's the thing. Maybe running the ball would have helped, but not that much. Oklahoma State actually possessed the ball longer than Oregon did. Never try to tell me the time of possession is the whole story. Bill Connolly, in his Week 2 write-up, pointed out that when Oregon beat up Washington 44-10 and Washington State 63-14 in 2008, the time of possessions in those games, 24 minutes and 17 seconds and 27 minutes and 36 seconds for Oregon. Their combined yardage margin in those games was plus 490. in two games. Quick yesterday, strike. Or Saturday, sorry, plus 420 while losing time of possession battle. That is explosiveness personified.
Yeah, and you can possess the ball because we score within three or four plays. And so, one, that's how Oregon is generally always played. Number two is...
Oregon had more gains of 40 or more yards, five plays, than Oklahoma State had gains of double digits overall.
Yeah. I mean, that was pure domination. Pretty much it was like pat and go. That's on air.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whatever they called it, worked. And so part of it's how Oregon plays. Even back when Chip Kelly was there, they generally were like, you know, quick strike and it looked good. And then if you really played physical with them, then you could kind of really dummy it down. But then also, Oklahoma State defensively. You're trying to tell me an Oklahoma State Cowboys team defensively that generally has guys at the next level. And you've had the chance through the transfer portal to better your team from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think part of his salary reduction went into recruiting, I think. Or that was that was part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you give up 69 points in three quarters?
Yeah.
Bro, you in some trouble.
Tough look. Also a tough look for my Duke Blue Devils. Illinois looks the part. 45-19. Wasn't with the run game. Only averaged 2.9 yards per carry on 42 attempts. You factor out the kneel downs at the end of the game. It was still 38 for 127, which isn't exactly world beating and certainly not Brett Bielema style numbers. But Jay, how about this? Luke Altmyer, 22 of 31 through the air for 296 yards and three tutties. Man, not the way you expect Illinois to win games, but good on them for doing it. 45-19 in a true road game.
Yeah, and the game was a lot closer than that score indicates. I think at one point in time, it was a one-point game. And
At half. 14-13 Illinois at half.
And something happened. I forget what did Duke do. Duke had two guys on the field with the same number. Illinois got a first down or got the ball back, which, you know, the penalty gave them a first down. They scored. Then they got the field goal. Game over.
Yeah.
Just like that. You go from potentially taking the lead to down by eight or nine. And then you're down by, because they went for two, I think, and got it or whatever it was. The next thing you know, you're down by 12 points. Just like that.
And then it snowballed. Yeah. 17 unanswered points in the fourth. When it was still a ball game, it was 28-19 at that point. Illinois pours it on. Late, the game that you heard on these airwaves, notable to Nebraska fans, Oklahoma 24, Michigan 13. No points in the first half for Michigan. All 13 of their points in the third quarter to make it a game. Jay, you talked about that Oklahoma defensive front. It absolutely showed up to play. I know Haynes had a pretty big day. But man, holding Michigan scoreless in three different quarters. That's a feat.
Yeah, and you know, they're playing at home. Venerables was obviously gunning for this game. I'm sure they came in well prepared. Mateer is a real deal quarterback. I think they're able, as you saw in the first week, they're able to score some points in bunches. But that defense was flying around, and they confused Underwood to the point he was very frustrated on the sidelines. The first time that he probably ever faced really true adversity, because you got to think, you know, if he didn't win a state championship in high school, he probably played well in a loss, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is where he didn't play well. He looked a little bit overwhelmed, particularly in the first half, which obviously, hopefully he is, you know, in a couple weeks at, you know, here at Nebraska. They started to get it going in the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, another adjustment by Brett Venables in that defense, and then also enough offense to get him over the hump.
What's Michigan going to take away from Oklahoma that it's going to work on over the next couple of weeks before it comes to Lincoln?
They're going
to
take that second half, and you'd like to think Underwood will be better next week. It'll be better, obviously, in Nebraska. They'll focus on that second half. I think they played way too close to the vest early. Mm-hmm. You have to. I think in a road game like this, with Mateer at quarterback, the guy that they want and they need, and it kind of works. The desperation is there, right? He needed a place. They need him. This is it. This is our guy with the coordinator, with the receivers and all that. You got to expect they're at least going to score 10 points. Now they scored 14, but getting off the bus, you know, at least they're going to score a touchdown in the first quarter, right? So you have to try to match that off the rip by halftime. So even if they're up 14, if they have 14, it's 14-7. Way too conservative. I think Michigan felt like they could just beat them up physically. it didn't work out that well away, and then eventually they started getting going. It was a little bit too little, too late.
Flip side of that question, then, what can Nebraska? I know Nebraska's got to be Nebraska, but what can Nebraska learn from what Oklahoma did to give itself a better chance against Michigan?
We got one up front defensively, and on in the offensive line for Oklahoma, you know, played well. So you got to win up front, and then with a young quarterback like that, you got to give him different looks. You got to take away his initial look, and then you got to get him off the spot. You don't want him to be comfortable. That's exactly what Oklahoma did. So you got to think he's a freshman. Oh, and sure, he's been there since January. He doesn't have any experience of playing. You know, the playbook is not the same size for him as it is Dylan Raiola, right?
Sure,
so
sure.
It doesn't matter who the coordinator is. Just talk about the experience and lack of experience with the two quarterbacks. And so what Nebraska needs to do is just kind of look what Oklahoma did. But more importantly, you can't look at anything else schematically until you win up front. You win up front, that's going to put you, in our case, being at home, up 9-0 or whatever, 9 points ahead, because you'll be able to get the ball back. You expect our special teams to play well, get in a position offensively to be able to score an easy touchdown within that first quarter and a half.
What have you liked or not liked from Mateer through a couple weeks here at Oklahoma? Of course, he balled out at Washington State last year. So far this year, 51 of 71 through the air, 662 yards. That's a 72% completion percentage at a 9 yards per pass attempt. 4 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, been sacked 3 times. He hasn't been perfect, but he at least looks fun. He looks kind of like a Lincoln Riley Oklahoma quarterback.
He does.
Times.
That's what I was going to say. He looks like a taller version, Kyler Murray, with those guys that he can run. I mean, he ran it 19 times. You know, he almost had 80 yards. So that's 4 yards a clip at the quarterback position. So that's a lot of, like, touches for him. That's 53 touches for him. So I like it that, you know, he fits what Oklahoma quarterbacks been over time, and they've all been very successful, and they're hard to stop because you have that run pass aspect with him, and he's a pretty accurate passer, and he can play out there off schedule. You know, you can put a lot of pressure on the defense, and it's not just the pressure that he puts on you in the first quarter, chasing him around. At times he tries to run physical. That really can wear a defense out, both mentally and physically. And so that's what they were able to do against Michigan. Even though Michigan was able to kind of squeeze the clock a little bit with the running attack, they weren't able to do the same thing tit for tat for Mateer. And Mateer, I think, was the biggest part in them winning the game.
Elsewhere in the Big Ten, after Oklahoma's win against Michigan, Iowa State takes down Iowa. Late field goal for the Cyclones takes down the Hawkeyes. Final score of 16-13. Iowa State looks good. They move to 3-0. The win over
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Kansas State in Dublin, the big win over South Dakota that we talked about last Monday. Now a 3-point win over rival Iowa in the Cy-Hawk game. As good as Mateer's looked for Oklahoma, Jay, Mark Gronowski has not looked so good for Iowa. I know it's early on, but looks like him throwing that 8-yard out route on the move was not exactly a sign of things to come.
No, the first 2 weeks have been a struggle. To be honest with you, a letdown. If there ever were was the stars aligning for Iowa at the quarterback position, it was him coming out of the portal.
Well, after we thought it was McNamara a couple of years ago.
Right, but I think with him, he'd had more success throwing the ball.
Sure.
Because of the way Michigan plays, but you'd think like, okay, he's transferring, he's got 1 year left, he's there early. You know, they kind of felt like they upgraded their wide receiver position, a really good offensive line. They feel like they got 2 running backs that are capable. And, you know, a lot of pressure is on them. I mean, so you got to understand that. But then also, you know, this is where his teammates and Kurt Ferentz have got to get him going because they need him to play a lot better. I thought that they started to really out-tough Iowa State. I think Iowa State brought it to him physically early. Iowa was able – this is what I talked about, Michigan versus Oklahoma. Iowa was able to withstand the initial knockout blow and didn't have to – you know, they got right up off the canvas. They didn't need to stand an eight count. So when Iowa State came out really guns a-blazing, Iowa held them to a couple field goals, kept it within fighting distance.
It's 13-10 at half.
Yeah, then you go in only down three versus being down 17-3 or something like that if they would have cashed in some of those, you know, opportunities. And then Iowa started to take over physically. Mm-hmm. You know, Patterson came in, and he was starting to do some stuff, you know, a lot of stuff. And then Iowa's defense started to really squeeze Iowa State. And then Iowa State was able to make some timely plays, and then obviously their field goal kicker is pretty dang good. I mean, he hit a 63-yarder last week. Mm-hmm. That 54-yarder that he hit, I think it's the same yardage as they beat Iowa last year, the walk-off, was just a foregone conclusion. And then more importantly, once that happened, the pass rush from the interior, both the whole defensive line for Iowa State was able to close the deal, and that also, like, was on in part because of Iowa's passing game has been pretty much
the same for 10 years.
Same for 10 years. And so that's in their head. And so until Iowa has that game to where they had like we had on Saturday night or you know, like we'll talk about Minnesota or Indiana, they're going to struggle when they play against a team that can resist that running attack. A
couple other things on Iowa here. So with Gronowski, new record holder for fewest passing yards by a Big Ten quarterback in the first two games of a season, at least with a minimum of 35 attempts dating back to 1995. Previous record holder, Thorne in Nebraska side, Kane Coulter from Northwestern, who had 50 more passing yards.
But he was more of a runner.
He was.
Yeah, and he split time, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not a created equal.
No.
You didn't took
Gronowski's worse.
Yeah, you're worse. And, you know, when you look at him, he's, you know, 13 to 24, averaged 3.5 yards of completion. I mean, this is inept. And they ran the ball decently, but it was mainly with Patterson. And then the thing I don't really like is Xavier Williams only toted it seven times. Mm. He's young NFL. And then obviously Patterson started going.
Yeah.
Gronowski had 16 carries. You can't do that against Iowa State. He's not that much. He's not that dynamic of an athlete to run.
I think the D1 level.
At the FBS level. Mm-hmm. Mateer, yes. Mm-hmm. Gronowski, no.
Good athlete, not great athlete.
Against that
defense,
right? Big 12 defense built on speed, and I think they played right in their hands.
The other part about Iowa before we move on to throughout the rest of the Big Ten, Iowa now 0-10 in its last 10 games against ranked opponents. Jay, twice lost last year, Ohio State and Missouri, three times in 2023, twice in 22, and twice in 2021. This is where you start again. Not gonna be a 1-to-1 comparison, so take this with a grain of salt, listeners out there. Is Iowa reaching the Bo Pelini point with Kirk Ferentz? Have they been there? You know, is it time for them to try to take a step forward? You know, I'd love to know what some of those conversations are inside the Iowa athletic department, because not that ranked opponent wins are everything, but Iowa hasn't been a serious player in the Big Ten for a handful of years now.
Yeah, the worst thing for Iowa that happened?
No divisions.
No divisions. Oregon, Washington, USC. So then you went from right under the top two or three in the Big Ten. Now you're like way down in a lot of ways lower than Nebraska. And so what you used to be able to hang your hat on was, here comes Wisconsin ranked into Iowa City, you beat them. Or here comes like Minnesota, you beat them. Or you go to Minnesota, you beat them. Or you go to Illinois, or you beat Illinois that's ranked. You always were able to beat in the ranked team. And then therefore, you know, Kerr Francis obviously need, you know, he should be able to coach there as long as he wants, and they'll turn around because you feel like they'll get it going, right? But then also, let's not forget, the new athletic director was specifically brought in to fire your son. Who do you think is next?
Who do you think? Give you three guesses, you won't need two of them.
Now it won't be as known, but the conversation. Hey, you know, you think about retiring?
No. Yes, you are.
You sure about that? I'd heard you thinking about retiring.
Little Birdie told me. Herky over there.
Yeah, one of your family members called in and said, you know, you've been really contemplating on Sunday at family dinner. You know, Kurt Franzen, I wonder who that was. Then eventually, like, yeah, you know, we've decided with the Board of Regents, we're going to give you a legacy contract, but we're going to need you right now to stop coaching here.
To do the thing for the good of the program.
All that stuff. Just boost them up.
Be a hero one last time, Kirk.
Just little slithers of cuts in his back and just throwing salt in there. You know what I mean? And then telling him it don't sting.
Nope.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's interesting. And then it's a double loss. You lost to Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, and because I think this year, Iowa fans are like, okay, that's cute that you guys, made a run last year. But you lost all those guys to the league.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to beat you because we're Iowa. We're going to beat you.
Nope.
Up jumped the Cats. I mean, here's a sneaky stat here.
Up jumped the Clones, but.
What?
Up jumped the Clones.
No. Austin. Up jumped the Cat is Ebonics. That's by Joyce Garrison. Trust me. Up jumped the Cat. I've heard it for 40-something years.
I was just making a Clones reference because I've stayed. But
okay.
I'll give you your Ebonics. Yeah, okay, that's
I
like all it. I was doing.
You know what? I like yours better. Yeah. You always
we're on the same thing.
The Colts hat is got you winning. Here's the thing. Iowa's defensive line, 0 sacks. Oof. Iowa State's defensive line, 3.
Mm.
2 of them by McDonough down the stretch. That's it.
Closing time, right. Baby.
Yeah. That's the difference in the game. Because the first one was Marcus Neal and kind of a quarterback kind of like run, right? Okay.
Yeah. Tripped him up behind
the line. That's great.
Yeah.
But the two, I think it might have been back-to-back plays. Mm. That's the dagger in the heart. Net start.
Indiana beats Kennesaw State. Minnesota beats Northwestern State. They barely play in the fourth quarter. Wisconsin pulls away after half to beat Middle Tennessee. Pretty big. Same story for Rutgers over Miami of Ohio. USC pours it on Georgia Southern pretty much all night long. Really two other games I think to mention here in the next few minutes, Jay. Michigan State and Boston College, 42-40. Eagles score 21 points in the second quarter. Michigan State fights back to tie it in the fourth, going to overtime. The alternate touchdown, Spartans end up getting their two-point conversion to go. Boston College does not. Man, Lonergan had a day for Boston College, but Aiden Childs stepped up when Michigan State needed him to.
Yeah, I mean, it was timely plays, and the 3-yard touchdown and the two-point conversion, obviously, that's the lasting memory. And I'm sure Coach Smith is excited. Look, he's 2-0. Probably felt like they let a bowl game slip last year, right? I mean, he won 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I thought Boston College, had a chance to really dagger in the heart this game. I mean, you're up 21-14, but feel like on the road, you're up by one score going into halftime. You feel like you got more than
pretty
control
good.
Of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterback played well and you just let it go at the end. It wasn't as drastic, but it kind of reminded me of the Bills and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. You know, the road team comes in pretty much is dominating the game. And it's kind of like, all right, you let it get out of hand. You can see you tap out, this, and then next thing you know, Aiden Childs does his thing. I mean, that's a big victory for Michigan State, Coach Smith, more importantly, Childs.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about the quarterbacks at these schools, especially like, let's call Michigan State like mid-level,
Yeah, that's where they're at right now.
Is that those type of victories are the ones that are constantly on the loop of replay. Look what you did down here. That's the one that you're seeing all through campus. That's the one that they keep playing in the bars and all that because you're able to come back and beat a known opponent. It wasn't against Georgia Southern. It wasn't against Southern Illinois. It was against Boston College, no matter what.
Respected head coach.
Right. FBS team. So it's a big victory.
The other game to talk about in the Big Ten, don't look now, UCLA's 0-2, Jay.
Oh, man.
They made the comeback almost.
Yeah, but they just lost. They lost so much defensively last year. They lost superior athletic ability at the first and second level.
Mm-hmm.
That a team like UCLA just can't replace, and that's a byproduct of when Chip left, the lack of investment NIL money. They probably haven't hit the $20.5 million. Deshaun Foster, he's probably. It's just going to be a rough year. I mean, they've had some coaching transition. Obviously, Eric Bieniemy's gone. You got Nico. He had a decent game for him.
29-41, 255 in the tutty through the air for him.
Yeah, but it's not – I don't think he'll ever be able to light it up because you don't have the skill position guys. You don't have the guy that can go get it.
And when you did last year, you sure didn't necessarily light it up.
And then you had the tight end, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, it's going to be tough. And UNLV, our boy Dan Mullen, hey, right out of the booth.
Uh-huh.
And here's the funny thing about Dan Mullen before we go to break, right? And we're going to give a shout-out to Washington, though, too, my man Jed Fish. He's been talking about quarterback Williams and Coleman saying they're a real deal. Dan Mullen, when you go and look at their roster, he went into the portal and got a bunch of questionable guys. Like, this, like, I can guarantee he's like, hey, look, we got you a meal ticket, got you some housing. We'll get you a little bit of NIL money. We'll get you a couple things, the Caesar Palace, you know, all you
rewards points, whatever.
Reward points. You have stay. That's where your parents stay.
Don't go to the sports book. Yeah. Just spend the slots.
I'll just let you know. You know this is your last chance, right? It's like last chance you. And it's working out for him. He's got three victories. And, you know, obviously Barry Odom did a good job last year, but, you know, he's living in – I mean, I'm sure he's getting a lot of free meals right now.
Here's the thing. The players can be questionable as long as they're not questionable at best.
That's
it's
true.
The at best that worries you.
Actually, I want questionable players because that let me know I got to reel him in somewhere.
Maybe
right?
We can answer.
But when you're questionable at best, there's no chance. No chance.
There's no chance this segment can go on much longer. We'll take a look around the rest of the landscape of college football when we get back to old school.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Halfway home on Old School on a Monday. Still lots of football to get into. I hope you've never thrown a football through your window like I have. But if you do need it replaced, go to Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. They're locally and family owned with their own team of installers. Learn more by giving them a call today at 402-430-3852. Or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Lots to get to, Jay, from the national scene in college football. I think we got to start down in Gainesville. South Florida does it again. They host Boise State, take them to the woodshed, and then they survive almost Florida. They're up. Florida comes back. They get the penalty, and then they take advantage of it. Drive all the way down the field for the game-winning chip shot. Field goal, Alex Golish and the Bulls now 2-0 in the year. And as of now, in pole position for that group of five playoff spot.
Yeah, they're the kings of Florida right now. They are dangerous.
And they got the U coming up, Jay.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, that's Saturday.
Yeah,
watch out, Canes.
Yeah, they're dangerous right now. They're playing with a confidence and finding ways to win. And it's up for grabs. Everybody just felt like, you know, they've been overlooked. But I think that victory against Florida Atlantic last year and you know, way that kind of, you know, handshake went between him and Herman really showed the swag that Golish got. And they play it's a lot of RPO, but I think they can pass it good enough. Very well coached in situational football. Mm-hmm. Really good young staff. I think they're going to be a problem. I think they're going to give Miami more than they can handle, but a lot more than what they think they're going
to
get.
I'm still trying to figure out who Byron Brown, the quarterback, reminds me of. He's pretty sturdy, but he's got, you know, legit dual threat abilities.
Yeah.
Not just a runner. Pretty good arm, relatively accurate.
He's a faster version of Jason Campbell that was at Auburn. This is before your time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember the name.
Yeah, Jason Campbell wasn't very fleet of foot, but his body and his build reminds me of Jason Campbell. I played against Jason Campbell.
Okay, I can see it.
Maybe Kaiser from Notre Dame. Remember him? Went to Cleveland?
Yeah. Kaiser was skinny, though.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of guys that maybe Huntley.
He looks kind of like the TCU running back in terms of his frame.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, but.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, you got to. Hey, do not sleep on him, though.
I'm not.
Yeah. That might be the new deal. Get a running back and teach him to pass. Utah. South Florida, you know, lesson the learning curve. You don't have any scar tissue. Just do it.
Do what we tell you.
Yeah, do what
you
we
will
tell
be
you.
Fine.
Yeah, and just run it whenever you have to overthink things. So, I mean, I like their team. I like their coach. I think Florida, you know, they have enough talent mm-hmm. that they're not getting much less than the bigger schools. And I think a lot of guys go there because they can play early. and they want to show what they can do. So, I mean, I think it's a great situation for the program to be in, being top 20. Remember a couple years ago, they gave Alabama all they can handle.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember when Alabama would take like a 10-point lead? Well, here comes South Florida. South Florida would take a like 1 or 2 point lead. Here comes Bama. Bama was able to get over the hump.
That game was rain delayed, I think, in the first half for a while,
too. That was Milroe.
Yeah.
Was struggled against them. So I just talk, you know, when you think about the speed and all that stuff, I mean, they're right there with it. And they definitely are competitive.
Not a good sign for Florida that you're getting the vote of confidence statement from Scott Strickland. Now, it would take a lot of money to fire him that you don't necessarily have to splash around in this rev sharing era. But holy cow, we are in week two. And we already got the Billy Napier's not going anywhere. Shut up about it from Scott Strickland.
Well, that's a byproduct of Florida playing well down the stretch last year. People keep referring back to that, which raised the expectations, which are what, Austin? Emotional-based.
Emotional.
Generally led by the fan base. And they don't know any of the financials and obviously none of the conversations between the head coach and the AD. So the AD had to come out and put that to rest. You just pretty much said, I ain't paying the bio.
Not doing it, guys. Can't do it.
Napier's here. And Florida should have won that game. It was a trap game or they just fell, they were asleep too long and then obviously got beat. But when you think about it though, is there really that much difference between South Florida and Florida right now as they stand?
Not right now.
Exactly. Because Florida, you know, obviously has, you know, a little bit more money or a lot more money. They probably haven't developed the players like they should.
Lagway didn't step up.
Right. And I know he was a little banged up, but, you know, then you have to say, okay, how much has those highly talented players over the last two or three years really been developed? Probably not as much. There's no way Florida should lose to South Florida. South Florida should be a loss for South Florida, but a moral victory for South Florida.
They should be happy to be pesky.
And be close. Now, they beat them. And I don't know if you saw the video, Austin. Did you see their coaches?
Oh, they were hype. They got the elevator stuck.
Right.
They were jumping around and got the elevator stuck. Had to wait for help.
Ran right past the Florida coaches. But the funny thing is, the two coaches must have been friends, right? So the one went in there, and he's like, probably looked around for his friend, came back. The Florida coach was walking. He's like, let's go. That's what I'm talking about. I knew we would win. The Florida coach is walking right past him. Pretty much talking junk. Like, I told you we were going to beat these chumps.
And they did.
Yeah, man, that's tough. I mean, congrats to them.
Fun weekend in the Big 12. Baylor comes back to beat SMU 48-45. That is an upset. A bad weekend for Kansas. They lose 42-31 to Missouri.
That wasn't nice looking, though, either. That was not good looking aesthetically.
It was not.
No.
No.
And it looked like it was, hey. Mr. Stand On Business is back. Coach Stand On Business is standing on business.
Right there.
And you know they brought the belt out too.
Oh, of course.
BTA. And then they were playing the drums with it, the University of Kansas alumni drum.
With their belt.
Yeah.
Tough scenes. Tough scenes for the Jayhawks. Two upsets. One of a Big 12, or actually both of a Big 12 team. Jay, Mississippi State over Arizona State. True road game in Stark, Vegas. Arizona State takes the lead into the fourth quarter. And then here comes Mississippi State down the field. Was Arizona State playing cover zero? Was that a bust? Was that a really good play? What went into that last touchdown for Mississippi State to all but walk it off?
That had to be a bust.
Dude had no help over
there. No help. It had to be a bust. But how do you buff, though?
On that board of the game.
Right. You went over
how?
This.
How? You have one job.
You went over this yesterday.
Keep them in front.
Yesterday.
And probably today in walkthrough.
And you know what? They were probably, well, first of all, you're on the road, so the crowd noise isn't there. I'm sure the coaches were yelling. And just imagine, I'm telling you, I've been there when I saw the Music City Miracle. Game over. It's tough, man. That's tough.
Also tough, Kansas State since Dublin. Not a great look for them against Iowa State, but okay, week one sloppiness. Struggle to put away a North Dakota team that did the same thing to Nebraska. And then here comes our nation's army. Storming into the Little Apple with a come-from-behind win. Kansas State takes the kickoff back to score early in the third quarter, and then they don't score again from there, I believe. Tough going for Kansas State. Army possesses the ball for 41 minutes. They outgain Kansas State. They pile up 237 rushing yards. And yet, it was really a couple plays, Jay. That surprise onside kick, I put in air quotes. Hope that kicker's a sniper.
Yeah.
He nailed the K-State guy. Scores a possession for Army. And then what looked like the fumble after the catch. Ball don't lie. It's an interception just a couple plays later. Rough going here early in the season for Chris Klieman and the Wildcats.
Yeah, it's week three, or actually week four for them, or fourth game of the year. They're going down to Tucson, Arizona, to must win. This is a must win. This is it. And here's the problem is I think they put a really big emphasis on Avery Johnson having a good year this year. Mm-hmm. I think they need to change back to the old Kansas State. They need to start getting physical in between the tackles. Number one.
That's what Chris Klieman's always been.
Right. But it just seems, I know that, you know, the trip to Dublin obviously can wear you out, but when you look
at 2 weeks in a row, that's not an excuse.
Yeah. But when you look at Kansas State, and we'll see about Arizona State, but I'll clump them into the same. Sometimes, you know, I said Nebraska is a blue blood, but in that second tier or whatever Kansas State and Arizona State is, you know, not in, mm-hmm. I'll just say Kansas State and Arizona State and are in that third tier or whatever, or second tier or whatever it is.
Some history, not a lot of tradition.
Yeah, and a really good year. Mm-hmm. Both of them had really good years. Obviously, Arizona State had a phenomenal year. Kansas State quietly had a really good year last mm-hmm. year.
Two in a row.
They are that level's version of blue bloods. So then you think you roll into the season the next year. Mm-hmm.
This is who we are. This is how we'll be.
You know what Matt Rule talked about? Like, look, you're not gonna internet beat anybody. You got to go beat them. Mm. Kansas State is struggling right now. They don't look like the same. Like, you walk past, they don't look like the same Kansas State team. Mm. And it's kind of like one of those things a couple years ago, not that those shots said, you remember when the Indianapolis Colts, when we talked about some of the rumors where some of the players, because Indianapolis is a small market, mm-hmm. they all kind of either got paid or started to get some notoriety. They just kind of look like they chilled that last year. Now they look a little bit more focused. That might be Kansas State right now.
It might be. It
definitely is Arizona State.
Oh, boy. Woo. That was a 2-10 Mississippi State team last year.
I know.
Well, you had to assume they're going to get better.
That came on the road, though. That's a long flight to come over there, and it probably was hot.
Go to Stark Vegas.
Yeah.
What is there to do except focus on the football game?
Well, that's the problem. You know, DP talks about going out there to College Park. Mm-hmm. You just out there, man. There might not know. You know what I mean?
In the vortex.
Yeah. You could fall asleep and get bored. Because it's an SEC team, but it's really not. Because it's not Bama. It's not even Ole Miss. It's Mississippi State.
But Arizona State and Mississippi State probably share that same tier in college football. Not right now. Arizona State obviously had the better year. But in terms of what they've done historically.
And that's the problem. Arizona State is thinking about what?
Last year.
What did Mississippi State do?
We got to get better.
We ain't thinking about last year. Now you're dealing with us this year. It's tough, man. That's a tough loss because I'm guarantee you when they were getting ready to play, they didn't think Mississippi State was going to be a problem.
No.
So
but they were. Start to finish. Clemson, don't think you're off the hook. We're talking about Dabo and his boys to round out hour two.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Wrapping up hour two of old school, Austin and Jay with you. Talked a lot of college football so far. Plenty, plenty, plenty to get to in a loaded opening weekend in the NFL. This segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. Recently rebranded. Excited for them to change their name from Love Volleyball Omaha now to officially Love Volleyball Nebraska. Go to LOVB.com today to get your season tickets for the first time or renew them for your chance to see more Huskers, former Huskers, national champions, and national team players in action. Jay, Clemson, season opening loss to LSU, and then didn't exactly look the part against Troy, getting down 16-0 against a team in Troy that we've seen come here to Lincoln and beat Nebraska before. Certainly no stranger to big upsets are the Trojans. But man, for a team with some top five buzz going into the year, put that expectation words on it for Clemson, getting down 16-0 against anybody is not a good look, especially a team like Troy, who you're probably familiar with. You've played them before in the past. And Clemson, you know, of all the preseason top five, top 10 teams, really outside of Alabama has looked least the part of a legitimate top 10 team.
Yeah, I mean, the only difference is Clemson, even though they haven't looked good, they've played hard. Alabama is just kind of, that's what makes it such an eyesore down there in Tuscaloosa. But I think with, I mean, I was one of the guys that thought like Clemson could, in a really, like in a perfect world, they could potentially run the table, but definitely was a shoe-in to get into the, you know, CFP. Mm-hmm. I think they showed some glaring weaknesses in the second half, which kind of coincided with Williams, their number one receiver, going out. Brown came back, but he's still, you know, 2 years on the shelf. Klubnik has just been pedestrian. 2 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, not a lot of yards. The offensive line has been good, not great. Defensive line has been probably really good to really good, a little bit inconsistent. And so they haven't really got the rhythm going yet. You know, they're in their mind, they're saying, okay, we're like Ohio State last year where we took a little while to kind of get going, but they better start getting some really explosive because, you know, Troy had them on the ropes. They had to really, you know, dig down deep to beat them. Now you're facing a Georgia Tech team that's more than game, and they are for real. Mm-hmm. And Georgia Tech, they're motivated by not being ranked. Then say you get through Georgia Tech. Now you got Fran Brown and Syracuse. They're no punk. And then you got to expect the best from North Carolina. These are all teams that Clemson should beat.
On paper.
Well, then now you're getting down there to, okay, SMU is going to have the same athletes. Okay, Duke.
Pissed off from how you beat them last year.
Exactly. Somewhat of an upset in their mind. They mm-hmm. feel like they're better. Okay, Duke, you probably should, you know, be able to easily. That Florida State game is a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then Louisville, no joke. Okay, you got the, you know, you got the.
Louisville won a tough one against James Madison, by the way. Shout out Dukes for making that one interesting.
Yeah. But they're no punk. They're tested more, right? And then, okay, you'll beat up on Furman. And then you ease in the season at a different South Carolina team than you probably thought coming into the season. So as perfect as this season could go, it can get upside down for Clemson real quick because it seemed like everybody else around them really leveled up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they felt like they could off season or, you know, social media beat you. Whereas like teams have gotten a lot better and they've closed that gap significantly.
Lots on the table still for Clemson. Wet blanket. Did you guys happen to watch Stanford versus BYU on Saturday night? No, I did not. Did you happen to watch BYU Stanford, Jay?
I did not. I know it was an exciting game because I looked at it, but I don't. Really, I try not to watch BYU.
Just out of principle?
Mm-hmm.
Understandable. If you can't watch Utah on TV, you can't be transported there.
Yeah.
Better safe than sorry. But yes, there was a forward pass that went for a safety.
By Stanford.
Yes. Stanford threw a pass forward and it ended up going backwards for -1 yards and a safety. It was pretty incredible.
Andrew Luck is struggling out there.
Frank Reich is struggling out there.
But that's kind of
like Stanford is struggling out there.
Yeah. It's gonna take another year or two for them to figure it out. Is it?
Oh, at least.
Yeah. The style that they're wanting to play worked in the Pac-12 back then. They have to adapt. And I don't know how they're gonna do it based on Stanford and all that, but they're gonna have to find a way. You know, go 10 personnel, throw it all around the yard, kind of a la Northwestern. Or find a way to get dynamic guys into your university.
Speaking of dynamic guys, plenty of them on the field for Sunday Night Football last night. We'll talk about Ravens Bills, emphasis on the Bills there, with a historic comeback for Buffalo. I got to get my 45 seconds in on the Colts and some other interesting games in week one.
I'll give you more than that.
Yeah, I was going to turn into that, but I'll monologue for 45 seconds, then we'll discuss. NFL Heavy Hour 3 of Old School after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply in-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.